The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We resume our studies this evening in Genesis 30, where we'll pick up now with the exegesis, verses 14 through 21. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that God the Holy Spirit is in his rightful place of rulership over the real you, that you are otherwise predisposed in this condition of spirituality to assimilate the truth of doctrine, undistorted by the sin nature, and therefore profit from the study at hand once again this evening. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for the enlightenment of your word, for our edification, for our examples in regards to our own Christian lives. We ask once again this evening that you bless us in our understanding of these things, put these things together as they may be relevant in regards to our own lives, and otherwise advance ourselves spiritually, glorifying you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this way. All be of God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, all it takes is a few believers to amuse us. And we've got the examples here and stories in the Old Testament. Not to put them in any specific or unique capacity, because all believers do boneheaded things on occasion in their lives, at least. But here we have God who tests both sisters. He immediately opens Leah's womb to have children upon the marriage to Jacob. For Rachel, she is tested in remaining barren and infertile. And after Leah pops out the first four sons, as we saw, Rachel's SGA couldn't deal with it anymore. She essentially explodes under jealousy and envy, takes it out on the old man, and he tries to put her in her place with doctrine. She still refuses to acclimate, and she engages in the energy of the flesh, trying to find relief in regards to her SCA soul misery that she's under, self-induced misery. And she offers and gives Jacob her maids to have children in the surrogate fashion, to adopt them and count them as her own. And obviously, in a family that promotes highly competitive spirit in regards to the family and how they operate, as seen through their uncle Laban, this pushes Leah's buttons. She's not going to have any of it. And in spite of the fact that God's blessed her with children, she faces Rachel in regards to her program and agenda to have additional children through the maids, and offers her own two maids in this respect. And because she is engaged in her energy of flesh on this occasion, we saw in regards to the naming of all these children between both sisters, the human viewpoint, SCA motivation that's driving them, that obviously they are self-centered, seeking to build happiness in regards to her own doings and not truly looking to God in regards to these things. So with all that, now that has occurred, we have some seven kids born now within the first 62 months of the seven-year period in regards to the second seven-year contract of Jacob. And now we enter into another situation that comes about. Obviously, the fact that Leah also is having kids by her maid, this stymies Rachel in this respect. And another scenario surfaces, of which we see again energy of the flesh and SCA conflict between the two sisters. We title here verses 14 through 21, titling the Mandrake Barter. What's a mandrake, you ask? Well, I don't know what a man is, but he doesn't rake leaves until his fall. But anyway, verse 14, looking at the Hebrew. Sorry about that. I read too many comics. Now in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went out and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. You have the wow consecutive, followed with the verb translated went. Here is a cow perfect third masculine singular, our typical verb to note travel of any sort, halak, to walk, H-A-L-A-K. That being Reuben, the firstborn of Leah's children, first four sons, and is in the season of wheat harvest, in the days of wheat harvest. You have the preposition bet, followed with our noun, common masculine plural construct, word for days, yom, Y-O-M. Then you have our noun for harvest, common masculine singular construct, katsir, Q-A-T-S-I-R. This harvest of wheat, common feminine plural absolute noun, chitta, C-H-I-T-T-A-H. And as he's out there, he finds something here, mandrakes, while consecutive. Our verb defined is a cow perfect third masculine singular, matsah, M-A-T-S-A. Then our noun for mandrakes, common masculine plural absolute, is dudaim, D-U-D-A-I-Y-M, denoting plural. Dudaim, in the field. So he's out in the field where the harvest is going on. Preposition bet, definite article, or noun for field, common masculine singular absolute, sadeh, S-A-D-E-H. And brought them to his mother Leah. He caused to bring, literally, while consecutive, followed with the hifil of the verb, imperfect third masculine singular, bo, B-O. Them is the sign of direct object, simply with the third masculine singular suffix, F. E-T-H. Two is your preposition L, E-L, proper noun, Leah, that being obviously his mother, his birth mother, common feminine singular, constructed third masculine singular, suffix F, E-T-H. It should be M, excuse me, E-M. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. So Rachel finds out about this and approaches Leah with a request. A vowel consecutive, our verb to say, cow and perfect third feminine singer, Amar, A-M-A-R. Rachel to Leah, preposition L, denoting a face-to-face encounter. Give is your cow imperative feminine singer, Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, follow with your interjectory particle na, please, or now, as it may be here, obviously, it's in the form of a request, N-A, please, to me, is a preposition lama with the first common singular suffix, from the mandrakes of your son, literally. You have the preposition men, again, dudaim, mandrakes, follow with our noun for son, common masculine singular construct, the second feminine singular suffix, ben, B-E-N. So, 15, Leah then fields the request, but she said to her, and she asked two questions, essentially, is it a small matter for you to take my husband, number one? She said to her, while consecutive, our verb amar, A-M-A-R, typical construction here, to her is your preposition lamed with the third feminine singular suffix. Then you had the interrogative particle ha, H-A. Is it? Then a small matter is the adjective masculine singular absolute meam, M-E-A-M. Small thing, a small matter. Followed with the cow infinitive construct with the second feminine singular suffix, our verb to take, lakach, L-A-Q-A-C-H. Literally, a small matter you're taking. My husband, you had the sign of direct object to know what she's taking, common masculine singular construct noun with the first common singular suffix or word for husband, ish, I-S-H. And while conjunction, now, then take is repeated here with the preposition lamed as a cow infinitive construct. Now taking also is a conjunction gam, G-A-M, sign direct object. Again, our word for mandrakes, dudaim, common masculine plural construct. My son, Ben, B-E-N, with the first common singular suffix, noun. So Rachel said, so a deal is going to be struck. Wow, consecutive, Amar, Calum, perfect third feminine singular, Rachel doing the speaking. Therefore, you have the preposition lamed plus the adverb ken, K-E-N, for thus, or therefore. He may lie with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. He may lie down, literally. You have the cow, imperfect third masculine singular, shakav, S-H-A-K-A-V. He may bed her. With you, preposition M with a second feminine singular suffix, I-M. This night, tonight, definite article, our common masculine singular noun absolute, word for night is la-yela, L-A-Y-E-L-A-H. In return for is the preposition takath, T-A-C-H. A-T-H, literally, instead of the mandrakes, you can do, keeping the mandrakes, you can sleep with our husband, is the idea. In return for mandrakes, again, dudaim, in the construct of your son, noun Ben, with the second feminine singular suffix. So 16 makes it clear that the deal, the handshake deal was completed here. When Jacob came in from the field in the evening, then Leah went out to meet him and said, while consecutive, our verb to come in is the cow perfect third masculine singular, again, bow, Jacob, proper noun, from the field, preposition men, definite article, then our noun for field again, common masculine singers, absolute, sadeh, S-A-D-E-H, in the evening, sundown, work generally early in the morning, farming, get up with the chickens and go to bed with the same chickens. In the evening, the sun goes down. Preposition bet, followed with the definite article, and then our word for evening, common masculine singular absolute, Erev, E-R-E-B. Then Leah went out to meet him and said, while consecutive, our verb to go out is cal imperfect third feminine singular verb yatsa, Y-A-T-S-A, to encounter, to go out. Leah, doing the action, performing the action of the verb. To meet him or encounter him. Lamed, then our verb to encounter or literally meet. Is the cal infinitive construct with the third masculine singular suffix, kara, Q-A-R-A. And she said, while consecutive, followed with our verb, amar. You must come in to me, language to denote sexual intercourse, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes. What a family. Preposition with the first common singular suffix, L, is the first word here in the sentence, to me, E-L. You must enter literally, hence come in to, is your verb bo, B-O, cow and perfect second masculine singular. And she gives a reason why with the conjunction key, K-I-Y, for because. Literally then in the Hebrew, hiring, I have hired you. Infinitive with the cow perfect past tense. You have the cow infinitive absolute, shakar, S-H-A-K-E-R, then repeated as the cow perfect first common singular with the second masculine singular suffix. Hiring, I have hired you. and she then gets the value used to contract him in this respect. Preposition bet, then the noun for mandrakes again, dudaim, common masculine plural construct, again dudaim, of my son, mandrakes of my son, Ben, common masculine singular construct, construct with the first common singular suffix, and then he does what she asks, so he lay with her that night. While consecutive, then the verb to lay down, again, shakab, S-H-A-K-A-B, Calum perfect, third masculine singular. With her, the preposition M, I-M, here with a third feminine singular suffix. That night is the definite article followed with our noun, la yela, again, and then the pronoun, third masculine singular, who, H-U, the night, that one. It's a pronoun of same. So verse 17. And God heard or gave heed to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. While consecutive, calum perfect, third masculine singular, a verb to hear, shema, S-H-A-M-A. Note, gave heed to is the idea. Answered in a heard and answered in a positive way. Follow with her common masculine plural absolute noun, our word for God, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. To Leah, preposition L, noting direction of answering the prayer, follow the proper noun Leah. And she conceived, again, language denoting the process of conceiving and then giving birth. While consecutive, our verb to conceive is the calum perfect third feminine singular harah, H-A-R-A-W, H-A-R-A-H, and gave birth, while consecutive, calum perfect third feminine singular yalad, Y-A-L-A-D, translated bore, to Jacob, preposition lamed, followed proper noun, a son, a fifth one. You have your noun son, again ben, plus the adjective for fifth, is the masculine singular absolute kamishi, C-H-A-M-I-Y-S-H-I-Y, kamishi. So after the birth, Leah has another declaration. Then Leah said, straightforward, while consecutive, amar, calum perfect, that being Leah, proper noun, God has given me my wages. You had first the verb to give, cal, perfect third masculine singular, nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. He gave, that being God, Elohim again, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M, in the plural. My wages, common masculine singular construct, with the first common singular suffix, noun here, shakar, translated in verbal form, cognate form as hiring, S-H. K-A-K-E-R. Because I gave my maid to my husband. She gives the reasoning, relative pronoun, God reciprocating for her action, if you will, is the idea. A share, A-S-H-E-R. I gave Nathan, N-A-T-H-I-A-N, first common singular, cal perfect verb. Then my maid is the noun, common feminine singular constructed, first common singular suffix, shiphecha, S-H-I-P-H-E-C-H-A-H, denoting the maid being her personal possession of that word. To my husband, preposition lamed, followed with our noun for man or husband, common masculine singular here with the first common singular suffix again, ish, I-S-H. So she named him Issachar. He had the wow consecutive in the Hebrew, and she called his name Issachar. Cal, imperfect third feminine singular, kara, call, K-Q-A-R-A. Name is the Shem, S-H-E-M, here, common masculine singular, construct third masculine singular suffix. Then Kish Shakar in the Hebrew. Y-I-S-H-S-H-A-K-A-R. 19, and Leah conceived again and bore six sons to Jacob. While consecutive, again, conceived is Harah, H-A-R-A-H, count perfect, third feminine singular, followed with the adverb again, Od, O-D, Leah, and gave birth, Yalad, Y-A-L-A-D, count perfect, third feminine singular, a son, our noun, Ben, and here our adjective, masculine singular, absolute, for six, it is Shishishi. S-H-I-S-H-S-H-I-Y. To Jacob, preposition lama followed with the noun Jacob, proper noun. Verse 20. Then Leah said, God has endowed me with a good gift. Well, consecutive, Amar, the verb, cal perfect, third feminine singular, Leah. Then our verb, to endow, to bestow upon. You had a cow, perfect third masculine singular with the first common singular suffix, Zabad, Z-A-B-A-D. He has bestowed upon or endowed me, that being God, Elohim, common masculine plural absolute. Then you had the sign of direct object with the first common singular suffix, F, E-T-H. My gift, literally, gift is a common masculine singular noun, absolute, Zeber, Z-E-B-E-R, Zabad, Zeber, endow. So endowed, an endowment is the idea, or gifted a gift. And this is a good one, not just any gift, a good one. Adjective masculine singular, absolute, Tob, T-O-B. And she continues with a conclusive thought. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. You have the definite article followed with the common feminine singular absolute noun, pa'am, P-A-A-M. Literally it means it's a step, hence in turn. The verb translated dwell, will dwell, is a cow and perfect third masculine singular with the first common singular suffix, zaval, Z-A-B-A-L. Literally means to honor. He will honor me. The one doing honoring is my husband. Common masculine singular now construct first common singular suffix, ish. I-S-H. And the reason is because I have borne him six sons. Conjunction key, K-I-Y. Born is Yalad, to give birth, Y-A-L-A-D. Cal perfect, first common singular. To him, preposition lama, third masculine singular suffix. Then our number six, adjective masculine singular, absolute, Shesh, S-H-E-S-H. Sons, Ben in the plural here, B-E-N, common masculine plural. And she called his name Zebulun, so she named him Zebulun. Again, same construct as before, while consecutive with the verb kara, Q-A-R-A, and she called, sign direct object, name, Shem, S-H-E-M, here with the third masculine. Masculine singular suffix, Zebulun, transliterated, Z-E-B-U-L-U-N. Verse 21. And afterwards, she bore a daughter and named her Dinah. Uh, vowel conjunction, or adverb afterward is akar, A-C-H-A-R. Bor, again, yalad, to gave birth, Y-A-L-A-D, cal perfect, third feminine singular. Then our noun for daughter, common feminine singular construct is bath, B-A-T-H. And she called her name Dinah, Kara, again, Q-A-R-A. Her name here in the feminine, Shem, and then the proper noun transliterated, Dina, D-I-Y-N-A-H. All right. Verses 14 through 21, as a unit here, rereading the verses. Now in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went out and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." 15, but she, Leah, said to her, Rachel, "Is it a small matter for you to take my husband? And would you take my son's mandrakes also?" So Rachel said, "Therefore he may lie with you tonight and return for your son's mandrakes." Verse 16, when Jacob came in from the field in the evening, then Leah went out to encounter him and said, "You must enter me or come in to me, for hiring I have hired you, literally, with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night. Verse 17, and God gave heed to Leah, heard Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Verse 18, then Leah said, "God has given me my wages that due, because I gave my maid to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Verse 19, and Leah conceived again and bore a sixth son to Jacob. Verse 20, and Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me," translated, "dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." So she named him Zebulun. And afterwards she bore a daughter and named her Dinah. Analysis of verses 14 through 21. 1. Some 62 months have passed since Leah conceived her first child, Reuben. Back in 29:32, the first child of the 12 sons to make up the tribes of Israel was Reuben. And it occurred immediately upon consummation of the marriage, essentially, is how it's looked upon. And as I gave you the handout of the chart, she had those children in the first 3.5 years of this second 7-year contract that Jacob entered into after Laban pulled the trickery upon him, trading Leah for Rachel, to get him to then stay another 7 years. And he let him marry Leah immediately. And as we brought out, or married Rachel immediately. As we brought out, Leah was able to have children immediately, but Rachel was not. And Leah has the first 4 of her sons within the first 42 months. That's the challenge in this whole thing, is trying to keep these births in line. You got to recognize that all 12 of these children, the 11 sons and the daughter, occur, essentially, within this 7-year period. And obviously, they have a little help. the 2 wives and the 2 maids. So you got 4 females involved. And at the end of giving those first 4, the birth of those first 4 sons, for some reason, Leah then had no more children for a period of 20 months. And it is during that, and by all indication, as implied in the text at least, it seems that Rachel, with her bitching and moaning and groaning, convinced Jacob to not have sex with Leah and give her his undivided attention in the bedroom. The language that she stopped is literally stood. It's kind of like up out of bed. "You're not laying down anymore with my husband." That's the language. That's the colorful nature of the language. But anyway, however it may occur, she doesn't have kids for another 20 months. It is during this time that the baby wars commences. And both sisters give both of their maids to Jacob to have surrogate children. Leah has, Rachel has two, and Leah has two, and both of those, all four of those births occur within the next 20-month period. Two 9-month periods of gestation is 18, leaving you a break of 1 month or two in between. So all this happens pretty quick in this regards. And now we come into this situation with Reuben out in the field finding these mandrakes. And hence into the 84-month seven-year period, the second contract, we are now some 62 months into this seven-year contract. And Reuben, being the firstborn, obviously is at that age. So that's two. He, Reuben, would be about 4 years and 5 months of age when the events now of verses 14 through 16 took place. Finding the mandrakes in the field and bringing them to his mother, and the swap, if you will, the deal is made between the two sisters. So three, it looks to be late spring or early summer. In the Middle East, that would be May to July, and that is the days of wheat harvest. So it looks to be late spring or early summer when in the Middle East, that's when the days of wheat harvest occur. Yom Kasir Chidah in the Hebrew. In the Midwest, usually wheat harvest would be mid-late summer. And everybody will go out and try to make some money in between the school year. So four, now the eldest of the eight boys, now born to Jacob, is seen to be enjoying the outside in the field, as boys of his age commonly do. Back then, they didn't sit around the house in a corner playing with their Nintendo or whatever they play with. Their little God phone. No, they actually went outside and they did things outside. And here he is outside, obviously, where the harvest is going on. Continuing point four, and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother. Wow, Masah, Dudaim, Bet Hasadah, Wow, Boeth, Eleth. All right, a little isagogus, a little history on horticultural insight here, what we're looking at, mandrakes. Five, the plant Dudaim, translated mandrakes, bears bluish flowers in winter and yellowish plum-sized fruit in summer. Six, their fruit are of the Mangragora officinarum, which is a member of the Solanaceae, or potato order of your potatoes, closely allied to the Atropa belladonna. That's why I didn't get in the medical field or the horticultural field. I can barely spit out the words that I have typed down for you. So seven, it is a common plant all over Palestine, in the Middle East, in that general area. They are here, obviously, west of Canaan, flourishing particularly in the spring and then ripening early summer. So eight, the plum-sized fruit is tomato-like, with its root being long and branched. So obviously, it would be dig deep into the ground to get its nutrients and spread its branches out. This would enable it to survive even in drier weather with deep roots like that. Nine, to pull up the plant is considered unlucky. That's brought out through the Jewish historian Josephus in his book BJ 7:6. Line 3. that still has that mystique about it. So there is mysticism that is attached to this fruit. It's like, don't step on a crack or you break your mother's back, and all this other crazy kid stuff. Now, it's bad luck to pull up this fruit. Let it grow. See. 10, in the Arabic, it is called Bayd el-Jinn, which translated means, quote, eggs of the jinn, whatever a jinn is. Want to know? Look it up. 11, they have a narcotic smell and sweetish taste, but are too poisonous to be used as food. Some foods can be poisonous in one state and yet can be edible if dealt with right. Poke salad, if you're familiar with that, that's a common plant south, midwest, off the bush. The leaf in and of itself, if you just ate it raw, it'd kill you or make you extremely sick. But if you knew how to cook it, you cook it right, it makes a very good salad, and it appeals to the palates of a lot of people. Maybe you're familiar with it. There's certain fish that are known as delicacies. They're the same way. You know, they have to be cooked correctly, or they're dangerous, can kill you. Food and things of that nature can be very strange to a certain degree. I remember reading a story about a guy supposedly over in Nam, and one of their favorite things where they get a big rush, get high, is that they will swallow the venom sacs of a cobra. And in the system, in the stomach, when it dissolves and the venom goes out, it evidently gives some type of hallucinating, real high. The danger there is if you have any internal bleeding, you're a dead man. So, you know, a part of this recklessness that goes on in regards to stupid GIs when they have nothing better to do than kill people or whatever, and there's nothing killed, they'll do stuff like that. See? So, you know, that's the way many things are. But with knowledge, people learn how to get around things, etc. So here we have a plant that has mysticism tied to it and must be dealt with in a specific way. So 12, it was known for its aphrodisiac properties by ancient man. That which stirs up the phatic senses, stimulates sexually, and can help reproduce. And that's what it was famous for. So 13, it was considered a fertility drug. A fertility drug. Having trouble having kids? Here, have a little mandrake. So 14, apart from the three uses of the plant in our verses, here in 14, 15, and 16, its only other mention in the Bible is in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 13, used there in context of lovemaking between right man, right woman. Verse 10, Solomon speaking of his right woman, and my beloveds, or she's speaking of him, and my beloveds and his desires for me, come my beloved, let us go out to the country, let us spend the night in the villages. Let us rise early and go to the vineyards, let us see whether the vine has budded, his blossoms have opened, whether the pomegranates have bloomed. There I'll give you my love. In other words, this very romantic setting. And let's lose ourselves sexually with one another, etc., as husband and wife. In verse 13, the mandrakes, the mention of the mandrakes, have given forth fragrance, so they obviously have a smell to them. And over our doors are all choice fruits, both new and old, which I saved up for you, my beloved. So, We have that occurrence, then we have our uses in our verses. So, obviously, it is highly regarded in regards to in heightening and making more fertile sexual intercourse between husband and wife, male and female. So 15, Rachel's still childless here. Here's a Reuben's find. He finds these mandrakes and politely approaches her sister requesting, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. And Nathan na lamad lamad min dudayim bin. 16, Rachel is desperate to have a child of her own and so resorts to superstition. Again, the energy of the flesh. She is going to try another avenue to satiate her envy, her jealousy, her desire to be a matriarch in the family. And she is going to try to utilize this for her own purposes to produce kids. So 17, now Leah, in response to the request, vents her long-standing grievance with her sister. Question 1, is it a small matter for you to take my husband? Question 2, and would you take my son's mandrakes also? Ha, ma'am, lakek, lakak, ish, wa, lamad, lamad, lakak, gum, dudayim, ben. 18, while Leah was unloved by Jacob, her statement of her sister taking her husband reveals the hypocrisy often associated with the SCA. So Rachel took Leah's husband? Is that the way it came down the pike? 19, the reality is that Leah took Rachel's husband by deceit, as the story went, and she was traded on that dark and stormy night of the honeymoon for Rachel to Jacob. And he wakes up the next morning and seeks to chew his arm off to try to get no, <I'm kidding. laughs> she can hit me when I get there. Page 3. That'd be a righteous smack up the side of the head. I can't believe you said that. 20. Leah here. Or, excuse me, Rachel here. No, Leah here. Yeah, all right, I got to make sure I'm with the right sister. Leah here, examples of believer that can be oriented to certain doctrine, as we saw her progression in ultimate orientation with God blessing her with children, yet remain maladjusted in other parts of life. That's typical, again, especially of immature believers. Believers still fairly new on doctrine, seeking to grow up. Some areas they have a handle, and it can happen at any time, you know, depending on one's STA, etc. They have a good handle on one area of doctrine, but then turn right around and be completely maladjusted in another area. The goal is to become adjusted across the board, see. And not to let those areas of maladjustment sit there and just coast in regards to trying to deal with these things. So, Leah, we're watching her kind of go back and forth here in regards to her orientation to doctrine with respect to the children. We saw her, again, with the maid. She was clearly under SGA with that one. The naming of the sons, how lucky, you know, etc., reveals how I will have prestige among the women, how happy I'll be in front of women, you know, the self-centered approbation that people go after. Again, hopefully you're capturing the dysfunctional environment of the family that these sisters came out of. And what you see, in spite of, you know, orientation to Bible doctrine otherwise, And these things, the problem is these things are not dealt with doctrine. And obviously, before Jacob came along, they really had no authority to exercise, doctrinally speaking, the right examples to give. And Jacob, obviously, he's still immature in and of himself, and he's not been a real big help, at least at this point. And in fact, from what I've got garnished from these verses, he's got his own areas that we'll see here as we get into this. Seems to be somewhat of a twit, but anyway, we'll see here. So, obviously, to become a well-rounded, well-adjusted believer all around, that demands a consistency in regards to one's pursuit of NPR and applying Bible doctrine in one's life. And otherwise, recognizing and dealing with the SGA when the occasion calls for. But you have here, you know, God's intentions, original intentions for marriage was between one man and one woman. And even though he permitted multiple marriages in the Old Testament, you look at the situations where it occurred, it is not a really happy picture. You do well even when there's only one man and one woman, like Isaac and Rebekah. And even then, it can blow. But all you do is add to it when you add the different partners' relationships. You know, for us, coming out of society, being raised, most of us, you know, under the proper concept, you know, to share your bed, your spouse, your bed of your spouse with another person is beyond, you know, reckoning, generally speaking. But anyway, here you have it. And you got all the turmoil and conflict that arises in a household of such nature. So 21, Leah holds to a sense of bitterness over the relationships involved and has since convinced herself that she was the one being wrong. Obviously, even though, and again, this is the way the SGA works, even though she was part of the deceit ploy put upon Jacob, and one could understandably recognize Jacob's disregard for her to a certain degree, and that she was unloved. She looks at it as now she's being wrong. See, as she's the one that got the short end of the stick, so to speak. And that's what the SGA will do. Rationalize. Turn things around so it doesn't look like really you're the one at fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. So that's what the SGA loves to do. Play the blame game rather than recognize their own person, the believer, recognize their own weaknesses. Not saying that others may not be at fault in regards to you know, feeding it and things of this nature. But I'm here to tell you, you can point your fingers all day long in regards to your own failings in life at others, but when you get to bang the seat, they're not going to be available. Sorry. Even your pastor, even though we'll be there corporately as a group and representative of one another, you still won't be able to even point to your pastor and say, well, that's why I didn't get the prize. He's why I didn't get the prize. Or God forbid, she's why I didn't get the prize. Well, that answers your question right there. So, anyway, we've got to all recognize our own individual responsibility in regards to our spiritual matriculation and growth in life. And recognize when our SGA is involved and get a handle on it. See? And quit rationalizing. Well, it's this. Well, it's that. You know, whatever excuse. 22. Now her SGA may have been exacerbated, inflamed, if you will, If Rachel had indeed manipulated Jacob to cut off sexual relations with Leah, as previously suggested, and as our verses now further imply, resulting in a 20-month period of barrenness, back in 29:35, Jacob essentially cut her off because of Rachel's intervention and moaning and groaning and not having kids. And the language here tends to support that idea. The language of Leah. 23, but even if so, let's say that is true, Jacob would have made the final decision, Rachel's participation aside. Jacob didn't have to agree. She is his wife. He could have said no and continue to have sexual relationships with her. But she blames her sister. Huh? Gives me the impression that they've been playing this game for quite a while of their life. See. So 24, again we see an occasion of the SGA rationalizing, transferring one's guilt to another in denial of one's own sin or sins. Your brain computer is part of your STA makeup. And that computer can calculate very quickly and come up with schemes and rationalization in order for it to try to perpetuate its desires and its lust otherwise. And that's point 25. Principle here is the STA is extremely creative in sustaining its lusts using human viewpoint rationalization. Creative is almost underspoken. It's a genius. Your STA wants to go, it has something, an agenda to go after, and it'll rationalize the hell out of things to get its way. You got to be aware of that, see. Part of victory in a conflict is knowing your enemy. And I'm here to tell you, your biggest enemy is you yourself. Your STA. What can man do to you? They can kill the body, but they can't do nothing with the soul. You're responsible for your soul. You're the one that's going to determine what rewards and what type of eternal state that soul is going to reside in. See. So to recognize these things, believers just love to gloss over all this kind of stuff. You know, the fine churches even deal with the scriptures to this degree in exactness, dealing with sexual things of such nature, etc. Even though the Bible teaches it, everybody keeps mumbling like there's something wrong with this. Well, the Bible's talking about it. It must not be that wrong. But, you know, the fundies always wonder, if they can't find somebody else to blame, they'll blame Satan. See, that's their deal. That's their app. There's Beelzebub. He just flew by. There he goes. See. That means fly, if you didn't know. I hope not. But anyway, angels in our midst, they love to be around doctrine that at least elect angels do. Mm-hmm. All right, 26. Now, Leah's second question, referring to the mandrakes as her, quote, sons, end quote, is a subtle dig towards Rachel's continued infertility. My sons, mandrakes. And you can just see it. You can hear it. 27, obviously, it shows a vindictive side to the SCA. The SCA can easily transfer, you let it go, not catch it, to go from jealousy to envy to competitiveness and anger going to vindictiveness, to be spiteful, sharp tongue. See, that's the idea of her talking to her sister. She's being sharp tongue, venomous, as women have a tendency to do. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.